What is true about you? How you answer this question isn't the interesting part. It's where your answer comes from. Who determines what's true about you? The world around you? Be careful with that. The world has a way with distorting the truth. It can make you feel good at times, but the world isn't on your side or even in your corner. It tells you that you don't measure up. It whispers you're not smart enough, fast enough, funny enough, pretty enough. You don't matter. At your best, you still fall short. But if you're honest, you're not such a great source of truth for you either. The voice inside of you knows your flaws. You know that you're tired, stressed, anxious, broken. And if you're not careful, the voice inside you tells you this is all that you are. What if there was a better source? A source that speaks life-changing truth meant to set you free to be exactly who you were always intended to be. The good news is that there is. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
You raise your hand. All four of you. Good. Some of y'all. Good. This weekend, this theme is truly free. I want to hear y'all say truly free. Truly, that was weak. Y'all, by the way, that was great worship, by the way, man. Thank y'all so much. Some of the songs I didn't know, and they're just powerful, really good songs. So I'm excited to be here. My name is Matt Beerhouse. Go ahead and laugh if you want. My last name is Beerhouse. I know it's weird, but I'm a pastor, youth pastor in Florence, Alabama, Underwood Baptist Church. Been there for 14 years now. I love students. By the way, y'all are so far away. Seriously, like, can I come down there and talk? Would that offend anybody? Would that offend anybody if I came down there? Come on, y'all want to go talk to me? Oh my gosh, no, I'm not. That thing weighs 500 pounds. I'm just gonna stay right there. I love Disciple Now. It's one of my favorite things we do at my church every year. We do it in the fall, the first weekend of school. So it's kind of weird that it's cold outside. I'm used to being warm, and we go and swimming and stuff at Disciple Now. But how many of y'all have never been to a Disciple Now before? Raise your hand. Never, ever been to a Disciple Now. Look around. That's a good bit of hands. So this is your first inaugural Disciple Now. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're part of this weekend of being truly, we're going to learn what it means to be truly free. Say it again. Truly free. Talk about that in your small groups, and we'll talk about that up here, and I'm hoping that this weekend will make an impact on your lives, and you've been prayed up for this weekend. One of the things I do at my church, I'm ADDD, ADHD, ADD, okay? Like, my whole entire life, my dad was a preacher, and I slept through every one of his sermons. I have a hard time staying awake. Plus, when I get going something, I'm chasing rabbits here, but when I stop, and I fall asleep. I'm also idiopathic hypersomnia. Do you know what that is? Who said yeah? You liar. Oh, no, okay, it's not. No, is anybody know what narcolepsy is? You do, really? Well, high five, air high five. Okay, it's borderline almost narcoleptic. You know what that means? Okay, that means you, like, middle of conversation, just fall over sleeping, okay? I'm close, but not that bad. So I have to take medicine to keep me awake. And so when God called me to preach, I said, Lord, I don't want to bore people. Please, I just don't want to be boring. Not that my dad was boring, and not that all preachers are boring, but I just don't want people to fall asleep on me. So what I do at my church is I hand out Airheads during my message, and usually at the beginning, because I don't want anybody to fall asleep. Y'all, I told y'all are too far back. I don't want anybody to fall asleep, but also, y'all boys back there, I don't know if I can get it back there. But I don't. I had to bend it in half. I don't want anybody to fall asleep on me, but also don't want anybody to be an airheaded Christian, okay? Come on, right? I mean, that's why we teach the Word of God. How are you getting me? No, I got no love over here, have you? Whoa, that was almost two. There you go. There. All right, I'm just going to get way back there. Oh, that's sorry, curveball, my bad. Took a little right turn on me. All right, right there, you ready? Don't fight. Oh, bro. Right through your hands, bro. You have an Atlanta Braves shirt on. It was like, it's okay, bro. I got another water up. We'll see if I can get to the back row back here. Come on, man. Who said that? Yeah, they all keep curving on me. There you go, right there. And about two more. Oh, Three more. Green apple, green apple. Green apple, seniors over there, smoke. And mystery. Green shirt, there you go. Catch that sucker. Thank you. One person caught it. I'm just kidding. So, let those kids. Oh, here's another blue one. Here we go. That was my one to remind me I didn't have them. I had to give out. So, I know we went from real serious worshiping about Jesus to goofy airheads, but try to engage tonight. Can you do that? Because, listen, I ain't got nothing to say to you. I don't. I ain't got nothing for you. I've been praying and asking God to give me a word, and I'm just a vessel. These guys up here singing are just instruments and vessels of the like a conduit. Y'all know what a conduit is? Where wires go through. We're just instruments and conduit and vessels that God chooses to allow to be up here to try to be used by him to give you something that you can take away from here to live out. And disciple now, to be a disciple is to be a follower. Everybody say follower. You could be a disciple of Snoop Dogg, right? You could follow him. I didn't even see the halftime show, but I heard it was terrible. But all I'm saying is a disciple of Jesus follows. Thank you, girls. If I had another airhead, I'd give you one. But a disciple of Jesus follows Jesus. And we're disciples. This weekend's called Disciple Now. Don't wait till you're an old person like me and Chris and Jason and Clay and the lady with her hand in the back, the idiopathic hypersomnia woman. Do it now. Do it now at the age of 14, 17, 18, 16, whatever age you are. Be a disciple. Be a follower now, right now. And by the way, I told you I'm ADD. I just saw girls up here taking notes. Do we have any note takers in the room? Good. Good, good, good. Please take notes. Please bring a Bible to services. Please write them down. It'll help you in your small group when you leave. If you're before we go any further, can we give it up for our small group leaders real quick? Give it up for them. Yeah. These are young men and young women that love Jesus so much, they're willing to give a whole weekend away for the ones that I brought that don't even know anybody here to pour into them and to ask God to use them to love on you and to help you work through these things that we're talking about, being truly free, all right? So in saying all that about what Disciple Now is about and trying to get you to be a disciple now, can I just say this before we get started? Don't waste this weekend. Please don't squander what is right in front of you, what God has orchestrated. Because, by the way, did we have Disciple Now last year? Some people might have. We did not at my church. We skipped a year. It was hard not doing that. It was difficult because I love Disciple Now. And for so many times, over the past years, we've been in this chain of COVID, right? Oh, COVID this, COVID that. We can't do this. We can't do that. It's just, we've been just worn out with all these restrictions and chains and bondage of this COVID epidemic, pandemic, whatever the world demic you want to call. And it's been hard. It's been tough to do ministry, right? Jason, Chris, Clay's not here, but it's been hard to do ministry, to find ways to get people together, to study the Bible, to worship. But God has allowed us to go through this for a lot of reasons. But for us and my church, one of the main reasons that we stopped taking for granted what we had before COVID. I mean, we came to church and we praised the Lord and we sang and we shook hands and hugged people and stuff before COVID. And all of a sudden, like, whoa, 6 feet, social distancing. How many times y'all heard that word? Who's sick of social distancing, right? I mean, that's over. That ship has sailed, thank God. And look at you're sitting beside each other, man. This is cool. But listen, all that to say is I want this to be an eye-opening experience for you, an eye-opening weekend for you to see that God has a plan for your life to be truly free. Do you believe it? We live in America. America. I love my country. I'm so grateful to be born and raised in this country and the privileges and the freedoms that we have. But I believe with all my heart, until you visit a third world country. By the way, has anybody ever visited a third world country? Africa, Asia, anywhere like that, Europe, anything? Okay. Can I encourage you, by the way, when you're young, to go on mission trips? Okay. Do it now. Okay. Go now. Okay. But when you see another country and the way they do things, and you come back to America, I mean, you literally want to kiss the ground that you are on because America is beautiful. America is a land of the free and the brave, and we're so blessed. But you guys, and me included, how old do you think I am, by the way? Good, I love you. Give me a hug. I'm 47 years old, and for 47 years, did that surprise y'all? Y'all think I was younger than that? Yeah. Thank you. This belly shows that I'm 47. But all I'd say is the 47 years I've walked in this country, most of the 47 years, I've taken for granted the freedoms that I have. And we're talking about being free this weekend and the chains that we're going to be talking about and the things that we receive when we're born again and we become a child of God, the freedoms that we receive and the joys that we receive and all that. I'm so excited for God to speak in your life this weekend. Are you excited? Are you ready? I hope you are ready to hear from God and to be more like him when you leave this weekend. So, truly free. Now, the key verse you saw on the screen, or maybe you didn't because that video at the end of it said this verse. It's found in John 8:31. If you're taking notes, write that down, but it'll also be on the screen in front of you. Now, what's happening before this passage? This is Jesus talking. He's in Jerusalem. There's a feast of booths going on. Basically, a lot of religious people. Everybody say religious. You know any religious people? Churches are full of them. We're here with Jesus, and he'd done some great things. He was teaching some amazing things, and all of a sudden, they start get anxious with him, and they're like, you know, we don't really believe what you have to say. But a few people did believe, and that's where we are, and we're going to talk more about that. But here we go. Verse 31 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm going to read it again. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, he starts that verse off with saying, in verse 31, that Jesus said, and these are, he's talking to the Jews who had believed. Now, pretty much everybody, especially in the South, believes in Jesus. I'm telling you, you knock on a random person's door and say, do you believe in Jesus? Uh-huh. Right? People just believe in Jesus, but there's a difference between believing in your head and intellectually and having an authentic faith and belief in Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? James says, and I don't know if I have this on the screen or not, but James 2:19 says, James says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So it's a little bit more, obviously a lot more, than just believing that Jesus is the Son of God, because demons believe him, all right? So these Jewish people said they believed. Y'all need people that believe, or they say, I'm a Christian, or I know Jesus, but there's no evidence of that in their life? Our churches are full of them. Amen? Right? It's true. Our churches are full of people that say they believe, but there's no evidence of that. So we're going to talk more about that here as we go on. So if you have your notes out, take them out and look at number one. Well, don't look at it. Write down number one. To know Jesus is to follow him. To know Jesus is to follow. Let's say that together. Ready? To know Jesus is to know Jesus. Yep. Come on. Ready? To know Jesus is to know. Good. That's to keep y'all awake, by the way. To know Jesus is to follow him. As disciples, we follow. He says, if you're truly my disciple, okay, you will abide in my word. The word abide, does anybody ever use that word when you talk? You don't use the word abide, right? No one. But let me tell you what that means. The word abide means to dwell, to take up residence with, or to be at home. To dwell, to abide, to take up residence, to abide, to be at home, to abide. These are the. That's what that means. In his word, he says. You know, there's just something about being in your home. Wouldn't you agree? I like being home. I'm a homebody, but I also like being away. I don't mind going on trips or mission trips or D-nows, but when I get home, my bed, I'm in my home, in my bed with my wife. Ooh, yeah. But anyway, I like my home, okay? In our homes, we enjoy certain things, certain privileges of being home. One of them is, and I want you to make the connection here with the word of God, because Jesus says, if you are truly my disciple, you will abide in my word, right? So when you're home, think about what you enjoy at home. It's a place of security, right? You get home and you feel secure. You lock the door, you go in your room, you hang out with your parents and your family on the couch, you eat dinner, whatever. You're secure, and we should, as believers, find the word of God to be a place of security for us when we're concerned. Anxious or full of stress, right? It's a place of security, like our home. Our home is a place of rest, right? I mean, do y'all sleep like 15 hours a day like my three teenagers do? No. I don't have three. I have a 20-year-old boy, an 18-year-old boy, or almost 18-year-old boy, and a 13, almost 14-year-old girl. And they sleep like crazy, like bears in the winter. They sleep all the time. But I enjoy rest, and our homes should be a place of rest and peace, and so should the Word of God. It should be a place of rest, a place of peace for us as children of God, as disciples of God. A place of sustenance. What is sustenance? Did y'all eat dinner tonight? What did y'all have? Taco what? Taco salad, Chick-fil-A, what else? Okay, the other two options, right? Food, right? Hey, Taco Bell? I don't know what y'all be doing later. Right? That's what Taco Bell's good for. I hear you. Can I do that on stage in church? I just did. So, no, but seriously, I love food. I love sustenance. And physically, when we're home, we eat. We feed our face. We snack. We enjoy those things because that's what we need physically. Spiritually, the Word of God should give us sustenance. Everybody say sustenance. We should feed on the Word of God. And when Jesus says, if you're truly my disciple, if you really follow me, you're going to look to the Word of God, to me and my Word, for sustenance, for peace, for rest, right? For security, and lastly, for comfort, for love. For comfort, for love. I have an amazing family. I'm so blessed. I love my wife. We've been married for 23 years in May, and I'm just so blessed to have that comfort and that love of my family. My three amazing kids, I'm so thankful for them. But just like I enjoy that in my home, the comfort and the love of my family, we should enjoy the comfort and the love of God and His Word. But do you? You say you're a believer, you say you're a Christian, you came to Disciple Now, but do you really look to the things of God, to the Word of God, like you do your home? To enjoy Him and His comfort and His love and His security and sustenance, right? Peace, rest. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, He says that He is the God of all comforts. He says in 1 John 4, 16, God is love. This is who He is, right? And He reveals Himself to us in His Word. But you got to put in the effort. You got to put in the work to abide in His Word. So my question is, do you abide? And I think if you're honest with yourself, you probably say, not like I should, right? Adults, look at me. Honestly, do you abide in the Word of God like you should? No, I don't. I enjoy it, and it's great, but not like I should, not like I want to. We need to abide in the Word of God. And to make that comparison to the Word of God is not like a hotel. It's like our home. You don't go to a hotel once a year on vacation or whatever. Like a friend's house that you just have to pop in every 2-3 weeks to spend the night with them. No, you go home every night. The Word of God needs to be implemented that frequently into your life, in your everyday life. The Word of God, He says, if you're truly my disciples, you abide in my Word. To know Jesus is to follow Him and to abide in His Word. Number two, to know Jesus is to know the truth. Everybody say that with me. Ready? To know Jesus. You got to say it a little louder. Prove you're awake. Say it. Ready? To know Jesus is to know the truth. He says, there in the beginning of the verse there, He says, if you're truly my disciples, you will know the truth. You know, a couple of chapters later in the book of John, from where we are, in 14, Jesus is preparing to go. He's about to die. He rounds up His 12 disciples and says, guys, listen, I'm about to go and prepare a place for you. And the way I go, y'all will follow me, but you can't go right now, but you'll figure it out a little bit later. And Thomas, by the way, they call him Doubting Thomas. You ever heard that before? Because he doubted that Jesus had resurrected. And he said, I ain't going to believe it until I see His scars. And he did. Jesus came to him and said, there's the scars after you resurrected. Another story. But in John 14, Thomas is like, we don't know the way, Jesus. What are you talking about? And this very famous verse comes out of Jesus' mouth, which I would plead with you to memorize. John 14, 6. Write it down. You need to memorize this verse. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through. I can't tell you how many times God's used that verse in my life and in other people's lives. Jesus says, I am the way and the what? I am the way and the what? Truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, we can know the truth because we can know Jesus. Amen? We can know the truth because we can know intimately, personally, one-on-one, Jesus. Now, not a truth, not one of many truths, but the one and the only truth. Amen? Come on. And that's not what the world tells us. We live in a society, in a world, in a culture that says, there ain't no absolute truth. Yeah, there is. And I'm absolutely going to tell you you're absolutely wrong if you don't think there's an absolute truth, because there is. God is right, he is just, he is holy, he is pure, he is God. Now again, why does society try to push their agenda down? Oh, you can have your way to truth and I have my way. And if you want to believe that, that's fine, but I'm going to believe my way. And I'm not saying you need to get in their face and shake a Bible out of it and tell them to get saved, but I'm saying they're wrong. Is wrong wrong? Say yes. Is right right? And God is right. God is just and he is holy. His way is the only way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the reason the world doesn't like to believe that there's an absolute truth and a right order to morality. I mean, guys, I thought things were bad when I was in high school. I graduated high school in 1992. And from Hewitt Trustful here in Birmingham. And I thought the world was pretty bad back then. I thought that the amount of my friends that were having premarital sex and doing illicit drugs and pot, and I was offered acid the week I graduated from a pothead. This guy, he knew I didn't do drugs. He said, hey, come on, Beer House. Everybody like call me Beer House. You got a great name to drink, man. Come on. Right? It is a great name if I was to drink, but I don't drink, right? Anyway, he offered me acid, and I said, come on, man, you ain't going to do that. Come on, man. It's last week of school. What are they going to do, man? And I thought the world was bad back in 1992. This is how many years later? 30. Is it 30? Yeah. This is my 30th year anniversary. I'm old. Can y'all smell me? Because I smell old. 30 years ago, I graduated high school, and I thought things were bad then. Guys, you are inundated, overwhelmed, just saturated with evil and wickedness and worldliness and immorality. And listen, it's time for your generation to stand up for what's right. The truth. Everybody say truth. Are you going to do it? Are you going to stand up, be separate from the world? Because you're called to be separate. You're called to be aliens, the Bible says. You're called to be different. You're called to be holy. And the world wants you to go down this aisle, look like this, be like this, act like this, talk like this. But you've been set free, truly free from the things of the world to be part of the kingdom of God, to be a child of God, to live in the truth. Know the truth. You know, those people that say, oh, you can have your way and I'll have my way. It's okay if you want to believe what you want to believe. You know, Philippians addresses that. Philippians 2, which is a very sad verse to a lot of people, but not to us. If you're born again, this is an exciting verse. It says, at the name of Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Those people that refuse to accept the truth of Jesus as being salvation, they refuse to say, oh, well, you have your way, I'm going to have my way. They're going to bow and they're going to confess, Jesus is Lord. And if they don't do it in this earth, it's too late. They will do it at the judgment, and they're going to be cast in a lake of fire that wasn't prepared for them. But they chose to reject Jesus on this earth, and now they can accept this fate, and they have to be separated from God for all eternity. Sad, sad day. But for you and I that are born again, if you are born again, what a beautiful day. What an exciting day. The name of Jesus, right? Be exalted. And we'll be with him forever and ever and ever. But there is truth, and the truth is that God is right, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, to know Jesus is to follow him. To know Jesus is to know the truth. Everybody say truth. And thirdly, to know Jesus is to be set free. Say it with me. To know Jesus is to be set free. The truth, Jesus Christ will set you free. The way, the truth, and life, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He himself will set you free. When you place your faith in Jesus, and only Jesus, when you accept the free gift of salvation that Ephesians talks about, it's not a matter of works or coming to church or memorizing the scripture or being baptized or what. No, it's about grace through faith, right? You get this free gift of salvation, and you are set free. Mind-boggling. It's crazy, because I know, look at me. Y'all, I've done a lot of wicked things in my life. I've said some horrible things. I've been a part of things that if they were ever, if you even knew one thousandth of the things I've said and done, you'd be so ashamed. You, how can you get up there and talk about Jesus when you've done what you've done? You know what? I'm not proud of them, but they've been covered in the blood of Jesus. And you know your heart. You know what you've been a part of. You know what you've said. You know what you've looked at. You know what you've done in that basement with that person. The movies you've watched, the music you've listened to, the internet sites you've looked at. But when you trust Jesus and in faith say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I messed up and I still mess up, but please forgive me. Thank you for your forgiveness. Will you please wash me? Will you please save me? Come into my life, and through faith I will believe in you, however you word it, but give your life to Jesus and make him the Lord of your life. He washes all that clean. Hallelujah. You're set free from sin. You're set free from the penalty of sin. The Bible says, for all of sin fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of your sin, or the what you deserve because you're a sinner, is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Free means what? Free, 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 free. Y'all seen the TurboTax commercials? I had some on a jump drive. I really meant to give you to show one. Y'all seen the one where the game show? It's in like an old setting in the 1970s, and the guy's going, and free, free. And the guy's going, free, 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 free. She's like, free, 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 free. Right? Stupid. I love commercials. That one's really dumb, but it really gripped me because, especially for the weekend, we're talking about free means free. TurboTax does your taxes for free, it means they're free. Jesus extends salvation to you, it's a free gift of salvation. But you have to receive it. You have to take it through faith. And when you do, you're set free from your sin. You're set free from death. You're set free from the penalty of hell that you deserve because you're a sinner. You're set free from the pressures to be a certain way, girls. When you truly try, girls, and again, I'm sorry that you have to feel this pressure from the world to look a certain way, to have that certain whatever or to whatever. And I'm sorry. That's pressure, but you're set free in Christ to be that way, to feel like you have to be that way. We're set free from looking a certain way, to talking a certain way, from dressing a certain way. We're set free from the stresses and the anxieties and the concerns of what the world says you're supposed to stress and be concerned to have anxiety over. You're set free. Everybody say free. We're free in Christ. You're free from what the world defines as success. The world says you're supposed to, if you're in order to be successful, you have to look like this, be like this, and have this much money, and drive a certain car, and listen to this type of music, and be influenced by this certain type of people. Now, we're free from that. We're free to exemplify, to replicate Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. And that's who we are to idolize and worship. And I really hope and pray, my prayer has been that this weekend, God will grip your heart. Now, I know that could kill you because he's God, right? If he physically, but seriously, to massage hearts this weekend, to open eyes and ears to things about the gospel, to things about God and things about his word through your small group, through these sessions, that will blow your mind. And a stake will be driven down in the ground this weekend in your life, to when you look back at 2022, February the 19th, 18th. What is today? 18th. This weekend, you go, man, that's when God rocked my world. That weekend at Disciple Now, that truly free weekend, I was set free from my sin. Because, listen, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, this weekend is your weekend to give your life to Jesus. Do you hear me? Maybe you're like, I'm not sure, Brother Matt. I remember VBS, and I went down. Nail it down. Be sure. Or maybe you're like, I know I'm saved, but I'm born down, weighed down with all these chains of stress and anxiety and worrying. And I want you to be set free from the chains of what the world has boxed you in at. I want you to be set free to serve. I want you to be set free to give. I want you to be set free to obey. I want you to be set free to hear God in ways you've never heard him before. And that's possible, but look, listen to me. But that requires you preparing your heart, praying and being freely open up to what God wants to do in your life. Okay? Girls, guys, God wants to rock your world this weekend, but you got to let him. You got to let him speak. You got to let him move. You got to let him minister. You got to let him heal. Don't raise your hand, but I believe there's some ladies and gentlemen in this room that could use some healing this weekend. I'm excited for you. Now, I don't know. I didn't know any of you guys. I mean, just the ones that I brought as leaders until tonight. But if you have Jesus, I love you with all my heart. And if you don't have Jesus, guess what? I love you with all my heart, and I want you to love Jesus like I love Jesus. I want you to know Jesus like I know Jesus. I want you to feel Jesus and experience Jesus and see, feel the presence of God and the freedom of God. But again, what's beautiful about our relationship with God is that he doesn't force himself on us. He gives you the option to freely accept him and to walk in truth and walk in love. It's your choice. Will the band come up, please? We're going to sing a song for invitation because I want to invite you to make a decision tonight, okay? I feel like, and if I had enough chains for everybody, I think it'd be kind of cool if everybody had a chain. Because listen, being a Christian since I was, listen, I got saved when I was 6 years old. How in the world did you get saved at 6 years old? I just knew I needed Jesus, and I prayed that Jesus saved me. Did I have a theological degree at that point? Did I understand what grace was at that point? Absolutely not. But listen to me. Look at me. At 18 years old, I got right with God. He became the Lord of my life. I laid down all my chains and said, God, take full control of my whole life. And he did it. Now, did I mess up after that? Absolutely. Did I do things and say things and act be a part of things I shouldn't have? Yes. In ministry, have I done some awful things? Yes. Have I said awful things? Yes. But God is a God that frees, okay? So I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads with me. And I want you to just ponder some of the things we've talked about. Jesus says, if you're truly my disciples, you will abide in my word. Maybe that's your conviction tonight. Maybe tonight you're like, Brother Matt, I'm a believer. I have trust in Christ, but I don't read the Bible. I don't study the Bible. I carry it to church because, you know, my parents make me. I couldn't tell you last time I really tried, even attempted to memorize scripture. I can say with certainty, I don't abide in the word. Maybe tonight you need to be at this altar and say, God, please help me to abide in your word. Give me a craving for your word. Give me a desire to read and to study and memorize your word. Maybe that's your prayer tonight. Maybe tonight you would say that, you know, I know about Jesus. I know what he did. I know that he died on the cross and 3 days later came back to life, but it's never been a part of who I am. I've never received that for me personally. Maybe tonight your prayer is, Jesus, I want to receive salvation. I want to be born again. Will you save me? Will you make me new? Maybe that's your prayer tonight on this altar. Maybe you know you're saved. You even read the Bible every once in a while, but you have major bondages, major chains in your life, major sins that if I were to say, look up on the screen, I'm going to show so-and-so's sin from last night, you'd want to crawl in a hole. Tonight, will you lay that sin down? Will you say, Jesus, free me from that sin? Father, I'm asking for these students to make a step towards this altar, to come up here and to pray, and not to be showy, not to, for any other reason, just because you have called them to you. You've called them to grow. You've called them to be saved. Whatever it is tonight, whatever you want to do tonight, God, I pray you'll do that right now during this invitation, that they won't worry about their buddy beside them or whatever else is going on, but they want to get right with you. Maybe tonight they just need to come forward and pray for a friend that's lost. Pray for a family member that's lost. Lord, this is your invitation. Move during this time. We trust you. We pray all this in Christ's name.